This is KBOX Heart of the Arts Podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. The Phoenix Chamber Music Society opens their 65th season by bringing in the Dofer Quartet for a concert Sunday afternoon, October 27th at 3 at Camelback Bible Church in Paradise Valley. Camden Shaw is the cellist in the quartet, and he's on the phone from Philadelphia. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Tell us a little bit about the ensemble, how it was formed, and then maybe the trajectory that's taken you to the heights. You've become really one of the world's top string quartets.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say, truly. Yeah, well, we started together back in the very end of 2008, gave our first concert in early 2009, and we were all students at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, where the quartet is now, again, based in Philly, and actually have been very fortunate to begin teaching there, a school very, very close to our hearts and still an epicenter for great music making. Yeah, so we started as undergrad students and had a lot of great support in those early days. And I think essentially we're encouraged by a couple teachers to really become a professional group. And I think having their support and their words of encouragement that it might be possible, you know, put it into our minds that we should try really hard to that end. So from there, we just rehearsed a ton and eventually went to the Rice University's Shepherd School of Music. They have one of the great string quartet programs in the country where you can take a preformed ensemble and study really intensively there. So we did that program and had the very good fortune to do very well at the Banff International String Quartet competition in 2013. And after that, it was kind of an exponential landslide of concerts increasing. And I think we were just, you know, we continued trying to hone our craft and learn as we went, but we put a lot of hours in by the time that competition had rolled around. And gosh, that's already been now more than 10 years, obviously. So it's the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, let me ask about the name, the Dofer Quartet. There's a Curtis connection with that, to be sure.
There is. We're named after a piece by Samuel Barber, Dover Beach, which many audience members will know. Samuel Barber, one of the great composers of the 20th century, and also a Curtis graduate himself. And he wrote Dover Beach for himself to sing with the Curtis Quartet at the time, which was the resident string quartet at the Institute back in the 40s. It's an amazing piece of music, but it's also a sneaky way of connecting us to our alma mater.
Now, in the intervening years between the time that you won Banff and now, you've made numerous recordings, including all of the Beethoven quartets, a couple of Grammy nominations for those quartets. We play those quite a bit on the radio here at KBOX. Let me ask about the program you're doing in Phoenix. There's no Beethoven there, but you're doing some Mozart to start things out.
Yeah, actually, I'm really thrilled to be playing Mozart K575 again this season for the first time in more than 10 years. In fact, I think the last season we toured it was actually back in 2010, 2011. It's had a long rest, and our first album ever was recording the other two Prussian quartets, as they're known, the only one that we did not record. And it's an absolutely beautiful piece of music. And also, being one of the Prussian quartets, it's one of the only pieces that Mozart wrote that really features the cello in a soloistic way. So he never wrote a cello sonata or a concertina or anything like that for the cello. And this is the closest thing we have to a sonata by Mozart for the cello. So it's very special for me, selfishly, to get to play.
Yeah, and that's because he wrote it for a cellist, King Friedrich Wilhelm II of Prussia. And a really good way to ingratiate yourself with royalty is to write some juicy parts for the royal.
It's interesting that it took that for Mozart to consider the cello as a solo instrument, which is quite interesting because, of course, Haydn, his teacher, wrote two incredibly virtuosic concerti for the cello, and people like Boccherini had been exploring really, really amazing technical playing on the instrument. But if that's what it takes royalty playing the cello, then we'll take it.
Now, I was going to ask, since you've come back to this Mozart after recording all of the Beethoven quartets, has all of that work on the Beethoven kind of changed the way you approach this piece?
I'm sure any in-depth project that we've done has changed all of us in some way. I think honestly, just on the most simple level, I just think we've all gotten better through the years. I mean, one of the things that I really felt coming back to this Mozart They are very, very difficult for the cello, actually, at the risk of admitting too much. It's kind of like the violinist performing the Beethoven concerto, how they say it's one of the hardest things for the instrument. Just the level of cleanliness that's expected is very crystalline and very different from, more romantic, more forgiving pieces. So Mozart also not really writing for the cello much, and not to my knowledge, working with a cellist when he wrote these. They don't actually lie very well in the instrument. They're very difficult, and they're notorious for cellists because they're supposed to sound so easy and so delicate and elegant, and you're constantly running out of fingers, to put it really simply. You just don't have as many fingers as a violinist has. And so they're very tricky. But I have noticed in the past 12, 13 years that I've learned a few things, which is great. And so I get to enjoy the piece a little bit more. And I think we just enjoy the joyfulness of this D major quartet. It's so fresh and open. It's almost like a story in which nothing bad happens.
Oh, that's a nice way to start the program. And then you go to Mendelssohn, written a little bit after Beethoven's death, the quartet number 4 in E minor.
He was inspired so much by Beethoven, and I think he wanted to model his output off of what Beethoven had done. So, for instance, when he was a very young composer and he was writing his first string quartets, they were unabashed, I mean, almost copies in some ways of Beethoven's late quartets. Mendelssohn's Opus 13, which is very, very often played, he was very young when he wrote it, extremely closely modeled after Beethoven 132. In the Opus 44s from Mendelssohn, he published three of them in a set. It was kind of in the middle of his output. You can see in the music he was really trying to emulate Beethoven's middle period, which in Beethoven's case, of course, is the Opus 59s. Again, there are three of them, and again, the middle one is in E minor. Of Mendelssohn's middle quartets, the 44s, number two is the most closely modeled after Beethoven, being in the same key and really, really capturing a lot of that fiery spirit. That being said, he's getting more and more comfortable with his own style, and the scherzo from the Mendelssohn is one of his best scherzo movements of his entire catalog. It's really, really famous in the quartet literature. It's incredibly tricky. Everything just has to be perfect and really fast and really nimble. At the same time, to be honest, if you're enjoying it and you're in good shape, it almost plays itself because it's just like a clock that when you wind it up, it just goes. And it's really an amazing experience to play. So that's a very, very cool string quartet.
Then you go on to the Tchaikovsky First Quartet, which includes the beautiful Andante Cantabile. Is there some Beethoven influence in that work, or is it changed given that Tchaikovsky was kind of an arch-romantic composer?
It would always be dangerous to say that there's no influence from someone, a titan like Beethoven, in the composition realm, but I would say that Tchaikovsky was working with really different colors and I think different methods of writing. One of the things that you can see, for instance, that's really changed in the Romantic period, but in someone like Tchaikovsky, even more so than Brahms, who was a little bit closer to Beethoven's tradition of thinking, is that with Tchaikovsky, there are these huge tempo fluctuations within the movements. That would have been really, really unusual for someone like Beethoven. There's, of course, always tempo topography, and that's a big part of how we tell stories as performers, is the shapes of the tempo. But for Tchaikovsky, for instance, the first movement, what's necessary to make the music work are these really big waves of speed and these superstructures that are really elegant, but also really massive. I mean, they just take over the structure of the work. And that is very un-Beethovenian. The music is very passionate and very full of romantic lines and inspired by Russian singing and folk song, no doubt. And of course, it does have that famous cantabile movement that you mentioned, which is quite simple, actually, and in a way just states this beautiful theme twice with a kind of interlude in the middle. So it's a great piece and very, again, D major like the Mozart. So you feel like you've had a delicious, joyful sandwich of an evening, I think.
Let me ask about the Tchaikovsky. As a cellist, do you think of things differently than you do, say, for the Beethoven or Mozart or Mendelssohn or earlier composers?
Absolutely. I think what's so interesting in these emergent cultural trends in places is that it's hard to say where a certain style, a certain way of thinking or feeling begins. And I think obviously Tchaikovsky was a long time before someone like Rostropovich, but it's no mistake to try to imagine Rostropovich's sound in a lot of these solos. And I think that's because he was a part of that fabric too. He was perhaps a result of this kind of writing and living in that milieu of Russian themes and styles, but there's a depth to the cello writing, this feeling of richness, even when it's soft, when it's quiet, that's quite different from, certainly from the Mozart, and even from people like Brahms. There's a unique depth to Russian cello writing that's pretty appealing.
Almost analogous to the basso profondo, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. A great analogy for sure.
Camden Shaw is the cellist in the Dover Quartet, which will begin concert Sunday afternoon, October 27th at 3 at Camelback Bible Church in Paradise Valley. More information and tickets are available at phoenixchambermusicsociety.org/Dover Quartet. Camden, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks so much for having me, and we're looking forward very much to being back in Phoenix.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.